Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sexy, huh?
You ready?
We are. And our NFL Game of the Week, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, I told you we're ready. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, just like Tim Hasselbeck every week, and Gary Force Acura. Our game this week will be the Steelers and the Cowboys, which has been a great rivalry game over the years. Probably not so much this year. Coverage does begin at 3 p.m. kickoff at 3:25 on Sunday. Once again, that's right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we do say hello and good afternoon to our man Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, what's up?
What's up? How are you guys?
Used to be Steelers, you know, Steelers-Cowboys. You knew what you were going to get. It was going to be a fun game. Two long-time rivals. Doesn't look like it's going to be a fun game this year, at least for Dallas.
I've always been a big fan of the Cooper Rush, Ben Roethlisberger battles, but you know, maybe not so much this year. You know, in all seriousness, though, like with you know Dak not getting hurt, you know, if Dak doesn't get hurt, then probably is amazing. You know, and you know one that everybody's excited to see. So yeah, that. That team has been decimated, and I think you learn a lot about the guys on that roster through a season like this.
So the Titans were quite active, as we've talked in the first 2 hours of the show, after we were off the air yesterday. So late afternoon, John Robinson, Bo Brinkley, the long snapper. He's had his struggles the last couple of weeks. He's cut. Jonathan Joseph. Certainly had his struggles on Sunday, that's for sure. And has just looked like an aging corner who's 36 years old. He was cut. And Vic Beasley, who has chewed up a lot of our show for the last two-plus months or longer, he was shown the door. What did you make of those moves?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Jonathan Joseph one wasn't surprising to me. I mean, I think that, you know, you didn't have to watch a bunch of the Titans games to realize that, you know, he was struggling. I felt like he was a guy that was identified by opponents as somebody that they wanted to test. I mean, just how I felt watching them and watching him. You know, the Bo Brinkley one is, I think, somewhat surprising because, you know, you have an operation. One, you have a punter who's traditionally been really, really good, and that's his long snapper. You have a field goal operation that, you know, has been inconsistent and, you know, throwing kind of a wrench into that plan in operation and changing that, you know, typically does not make that improve. So that one surprised me because, you know, I think that, you know, he's been trusted as a long snapper, and seeing John Robinson's comments afterwards, you know, it seemed to think like, hey, whether it was kind of COVID into coming back and then, you know, rolling one back last week, it just, that's a position that they feel like they can kind of, you know, find someone else. And but that one was a little surprising, and, you know, as was the Vic Beasley thing, just from the point of it's an admission that you got it wrong when you consider what they paid him. And I know they paid him because other people were interested, but, you know, it was a swing and a miss and a pretty expensive one.
So I brought this up earlier, and I just want to get your opinion on how you navigate this moving forward or just how you navigate this in general. You know, at this level, at the highest level, look, everybody's confident. You have to be confident to be a player, to be a coach, to be a front office person. This is not an easy job. That's why they get paid big bucks. But they're confident. And so the data the data in this case may be the people you talk to, and they say, you know what, Vic Beasley, just stay away. It's not worth it. It's not worth your time. I don't think he really loves the game. He's probably at the end. He's, you know, probably thinking about retirement. Just doesn't have that motor you're looking for. It's there when he wants to turn it on and he can do special things, but overall, I would just tell you to stay away. But then you go, yeah, but okay, that's fine, but they don't know us. I mean, Mike Vrabel is hands-on head coach and the staff. They'll get him in here. We'll get him in here and we'll change, you know, the way he thinks. Like that was Atlanta's version and their problem. But he'll be different with us. And the Titans are no different than, as you know, everybody else around the league. They all feel that way, right? I mean, that's how it works in the NFL. We can change that person. So how do you do that? How do you get past – like, you're not going to change who you are. You're going to remain confident.
Yeah.
You're going to remain confident in your staff and what you do. But how do you balance that of everybody's telling you, all the signs are saying, yeah, stay away. But you're like, yeah, but we can do things differently than everybody else. How do you do that?
Well, here's what I would say, and I think this is what you're getting at, is that, you know, is that every voice was like, you know, you probably don't want to go that direction, you know? And
do you know why I bring that up? Because we trotted, you know, guest after guest on this show from down there, whether it's Wes Durham, the play-by-play guy, Chris Domino, people in the market that all know Chris or Vic Beasley, and they all had the same message, like – kind of what I've been saying. Yeah, you might want to stay
right
away.
Yeah, but you know, just because that's who's saying it publicly doesn't mean that's the case. I'll give you a prime example for me.
Okay.
I sat in Dabo Swinney's office talking to him about a game I was calling of Clemson. This would have been last year, and not even sure how it ends up coming up, but we start talking about some guys that have been through that program. And sure enough, like, he starts raving about Vic Beasley and raving about Grady Jarrett and, you know, talking in a way like unsolicited about those guys. And so, you know, I think that you can sit there and go, well, wait a second. Like, look what he's done with this program. He obviously, you know, the guy has physical talent, and here's this coach that got a lot out of him, and he kind of believes in this guy. Like, is there something there that somebody else is just getting wrong? Like, you know, is it a scheme thing? Was it a coaching thing? Like, what could it be? You know, and I think you can find other players. I'll give you another example. Like, Dante Fowler Jr. down in with the Jaguars was a disaster. I mean, don't you remember? I mean, it was like fights at training camp with other players. Like,
sure.
It was a train wreck. Well, he goes to the Rams, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, man, how are you going to block this guy? You know, like that's – so, like, sometimes it works because sometimes it is just kind of a bad fit for whatever reason, you know. And I would say this. I don't think that everybody – I think there are some people that were like, yeah, hey, Vic Beasley, no good. But I don't think everybody, you know, across the board was giving that type of scouting report on him.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, that I mean, you're right. You're right. Sometimes you do take them in, and they do change under your system or your personnel, right? I mean, there are obviously success stories, but I don't know. This one obviously did not work out. What do you make of John Robinson's trade for Desmond Keane? What can you tell us about this guy from the Chargers, other than they can't hold a lead?
Yeah, well, I think Desmond King's a good corner, and I think in the current situation with what we've seen from the Titans defense and quite honestly why they released Jonathan Joseph is they need another corner. They need somebody that can hold up better, somebody that can win kind of at the moment of truth. I mean, I think that's been the biggest thing for me probably the last 2 weeks, you know, is Jonathan Joseph's been a struggle, like to the point where I'm trying, like, you know, like when I've been in the room with my boys watching the game, you know, they're like, man, like they're always going after this guy. Like, that's what I mean about somebody that's been identified as like, hey, yeah, we're testing you. And so I think that, look, you're kind of preventing that from happening. I mean, I think that you know, Desmond King has viewed it as a, you know, a faster, younger, better player, you know. And listen, in fairness to Jonathan Joseph, he's had a great career. You mentioned his age. Not many people play, you know, in the NFL as long as he's played in the NFL, and he was very good as a younger player. So, look, I think that there's probably two things if I were the Titans, kind of looking at the current situation and even what happened a week ago. Like, they didn't get the quarterback down. They got to him a few times, but they weren't getting him down. And if you look at whether it was Burrow just escaping what could have been a really bad play and a sack and put him behind schedule, but a throwaway, or creating a big play, you know, between the pass rush and how they've covered, like, something needs to improve, and maybe it's improved in both areas so that, you know, they, you know, don't find themselves kind of in the situation they found themselves, whether it was, you know, with Ben when they played Pittsburgh, or whether it was, you know, what just happened last week against Cincinnati, if they want to really be the team that I think they kind of feel like they're close to being.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We're talking football here. Tim, Corey Davis, we had an interesting discussion about him yesterday. I want to bounce it off of you. He's a free agent at the end of the year. They declined the fifth-year option, understandably, because of the price tag of being the fifth overall pick. He's been very productive, and we're weighing the options, you know, trying to maybe go after a contract extension now before he hits the market. Maybe you save some dollars, letting him walk, and then taking your chances of signing another free agent receiver. We know that that's, A, expensive, and B, a total wild card, and then C, drafting somebody else. What would you do with a guy like that who's not spectacular, but you kind of know what you're getting with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge ends up being that, like, what the Titans want to do with him versus what, you know, Corey Davis probably feels like would be available to him are going to probably be two radically different things. You know, I'm sure there's probably some type of disappointment from his end that the team didn't pick up the fifth-year option, you know, whether he, you know, sees their point of view on it or not. But, like, for him, you've kind of done the work from the standpoint of, like, why would you re-sign without knowing what else is out there? Like, he was, you know, he was drafted very high. There were other people that would have drafted him that high. It wasn't like the Titans reached for him. So there's people that think highly of his physical ability. And, you know, he's, like, this year, at least from my vantage point so far, like, it seems like this could end up being his best year, you know, like, it, especially if the quarterback continues to play really well. So, you know, if you're him in that situation, you're going, well, wait a second, like, look around the league at some of these teams that are going to want to fix their wide receiver situation. The Eagles, the Giants, you know, the Texans, I mean, you can run around the league and go, well, wait a second, like, I would be an upgrade at some of these other places, and, you know, they're going to need, you know, the market for a wide receiver. I'm probably going to get a better deal from by waiting. So, like, I don't really know. I think the Titans kind of signaled their hand on it when they did it. I think it kind of made that decision that he was going to play elsewhere. So I don't really see why Corey Davis at this point would accept a deal with being this close to free agency.
There was an open discussion during the Saints-Bears game between Joe Buck and Troy Aikman about Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky. When the Bears were struggling, now, of course, to their credit, they were able to get the game to overtime. They had a chance to win. There was kind of a, do you consider putting Trubisky in there? Both of their numbers are pretty ugly. The offense hasn't done really well. Neither has had the support of a running game. But what are your thoughts? Like, if you're the Titans, do you have to sort of prepare for them to make a change, possibly?
Well, and they even put Mitch in and, you know, did a little something different with him, you know, for a play. And not that you got to over prepare for that, but look, I kind of operate, you know, with the idea that, like, when you make a move, like, you better be making a move for good, right? Like, you know, when the Titans decided to go to Ryan Tannehill last year, like, I got the feeling it was for good. Now, obviously, he played well and it made it easy, but when you do that, I think you're signaling, like, hey, this is the decision we're making. I thought all along that they would name Mitch Trubisky to be the starter to start the season. but if it didn't go well, that they would make the move. I just didn't think that they would be 3-0 and decide that it didn't go well, you know, and then have Nick come in and, you know, they're doing okay, but like offensively, it's really not all that different. And watching that game last week, you know, the job the defense did was amazing. The defense kept them in that game, so much so where you thought, there's a chance Chicago wins this football game with the offense playing horribly against a team that a lot of people think is as good as anybody in the NFC. So I think you prepare for Nick Foles. I think that you could see Trubisky. But if I were Matt Nagy, I'm playing Nick Foles. And I do think, even though he struggled, Willie, that there probably is a confidence in Nick Foles throughout that locker room that doesn't exist for Trubisky.
And just while we're at it, how good is the Bears defense? It's interesting. You have a struggling defense against a struggling offense in this matchup, and you have a very good offense in the Titans against a very good defense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really good. And they're good at every level, right? So, you know, as a pass rusher, they have an elite pass rusher. They have an elite interior defensive lineman. Roquan Smith, if anyone who watched that Saints-Bears game a week ago, was remarkable, at middle linebacker, did an amazing job kind of defending Alvin Kamara, a bunch of times. People obviously familiar with Eddie Jackson, who's a big-time playmaker at the safety position. Like, they really are, they're really talented and they're well-coached. I mean, I think so. That's a really good group. And I think the style of offense for the Titans is obviously very different than what the Bears faced a week ago. And so, can you Roquan Smith, it's better for him to be running around covering space rather than, dealing with, a back that weighs more than him coming downhill on him. So, I think that the Titans' style of play is maybe a benefit to them.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us every Wednesday at noon, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine. Tim, this is a two-part question. It's staying in this in the NFC North. Do you think the Vikings are a better team than their record shows right now?
I do, because and I think we've talked about them in past years, but like, they're always going to be well-coached on defense because of Zimmer. They can run the football, and as much as it's continues to be kind of an unpopular take, like, I think Kirk Cousins is better than kind of everybody else thinks he is.
Fair. Okay. So on the other side of that, the team they beat.
Even Teddy Bridgewater, by the way.
Yeah, well, I know.
Do
you think that Green Bay is maybe a worse team than their record shows, or was last week just one of those tough division rivalry matchups?
No, I think it's a tough division rivalry matchup. I think the reality is Green Bay is still really good. They were 13-3 last year. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the game. They have really talented players on defense. Like, to me, Green Bay is a really good team. And I think part of what happens, we're at this halfway point, and I was talking to a friend of mine who is a coach in the NFL. It's his first year in the NFL, and, he's coached in college, and he actually coached in high school as well. And I'm like, it's a marathon, the NFL season. It's like, boy, is it long. Like, you're not kidding. And, like, you see this happen. Look, the Titans are a way better team than the Cincinnati Bengals. They're a much better team. But it is still pro football. And,
right.
So when you get a division matchup like we saw in Green Bay, in kind of this weird environment where there's no fans in the stands and it's just kind of strange. And, oh, by the way, it's just kind of the halfway point of the season. It's getting a little monotonous and some of the things are wearing you down. Like, those things happen. Like, and they happen to really good teams. So I do think Green Bay is still really good.
Going to the AFC, the Dolphins make the change to Tua. They've won 3 in a row. 4-3 overall on the season. Buffalo still 6-2, so still atop that division. But do you think the Dolphins have something here that they could maybe challenge to win the AFC East?
I'm not sure they're going to win the AFC East. I will say this, like, you know, to get that kind of performance out of your defense and special teams, for that matter, each and every week. No, I mean, that's like, I don't see how that can happen. And Tua is going to need to play better. You know, I mean, he threw for less than 100 yards. I felt like they really protected him. And so, you know, like how well he plays, or the expectation of how he's going to play, I think is still very much up for debate based on what we saw last week. Because, you know, I did a breakdown tape on kind of the good and the bad. And the truth was, like, you know, there was just as much bad as there was good in how he played a week ago. And so I think that, I think they may have a long way to go still with him as their quarterback.
All right, now we say hello to Tim Hasselbeck, ACC Network analyst, for this next question.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to switch gears there. Clemson had a tough time against your BC Eagles, but they ultimately get the win without Trevor Lawrence. A little tougher test this week against Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so I know that DJ... I'm going to bypass on his name here. So
that's okay.
Uyagalele?
So
is that right?
There you go.
Uyagalele. Yeah, I got to say it slowly. So here's the thing: his numbers look good and stuff, but you just go back to that play. I don't know if, you know, anyone who saw it, the 97 yard fumble recovery for a return for a touchdown by BC. Like, that's 100% on the quarterback. The ball is up around Etienne's throat when he's handing it off to him, you know, not where Etienne's expecting the football. And I think little things like that are where they miss Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, the rest of the numbers, I think when you play in that offense, they're going to kind of be that way because they're so talented. But that to me, would scare me if I'm Clemson because, you know, Notre Dame is they're difficult to defend because the quarterback is a way better runner than people kind of realize or give him credit for. I actually think he's a better runner than passer. Defensively, they're really good, and they've got a good offensive line. It's just kind of typical of Notre Dame. You know, where I think Notre Dame is probably not the same right now is, you know, in years past, is, you know, Clemson has the advantage of corner. And Notre Dame's receivers have been inconsistent. So I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I think Notre Dame has the ability for sure to beat them, with no Trevor Lawrence playing. And, quite honestly, I think part of it comes down to Clark Lee, Nashville native, by the way, defensive coordinator for Notre Dame. You know, if he can confuse the young quarterback, then I think Notre Dame's got a legitimate shot to win.
What game do you have this week?
I have somehow become like the voice of the Virginia Cavalier football program.
Nice.
I have Louisville at Virginia Tech this weekend. Or sorry, at Virginia this weekend.
Okay. All right. We'll check that out on the ACC Network.
Yeah, but listen, it's up against Clemson, Notre Dame. So I know that the only person that's going to be watching Louisville, Virginia, is you, Chase.
That's right.
I know that's the type of loyalty. Yeah.
You can tell us who's going to win the game. We might all be watching it. If you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. If I felt like I was good at that, I might be operating with the same accuracy as some of these pollsters, Darren. Because I did not think that Virginia was going to score over 40 points last weekend, which they did. I think that was probably a surprise to all. So I don't want to give any advice there.
Fair enough.
Yes, indeed.
You didn't want to go down the hole of posters. You want to stay away from that one.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that. It was a good line by you, though. Definitely a good line. Well, have fun with that. Good stuff, as always. And we'll chat next week.
Cool. See you, fellas.
By the way, real quick, do you see – I know we've talked a lot about it already, but and you've kind of. But how do you see? So the Titans have now dropped two in a row. They're 2-5 win teams, but they don't feel like it, right? So how do you see this one playing out on Sunday, ultimately?
I think the Titans win. I think they will. I think, like I said kind of before, I think their offensive style of play is good, is a good matchup against his defense, to not play to their strengths. And I think you just got to find opportunities, like when they do give you a chance to play the football on defense, that you do that and you make them pay for it. And I think, I mean, this is going to sound harsh, but like, you know, the Jonathan and Joseph thing, like that felt like a liability and that's now removed. You know, okay. And I think that's a good thing for them.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you, boys.
Our man Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine out in Bellevue where Chase is. And he's got a word. Speaking of that, we were looking for winners. Maybe he's got a winner.
Oh, I got some winners. BetMGM. That's what you need to do. I've been telling you about them for the last few weeks. So if you haven't downloaded the app yet, do that. They have it for iOS or Android, so it's that simple. Search BetMGM, get that app downloaded, because they are celebrating their arrival in Tennessee by offering new customers $100 in free bets when they wager $1 on the Tennessee Titans game. That's right. Sign up for BetMGM and use this bonus code 1025GAME, and you can immediately turn $1 into $100. The Volunteer State loves sports. You know I love sports. We love sports on this show, and we love betting on them with BetMGM. No one makes the game more interesting like BetMGM. They have parlay bonus payouts, live betting action, daily boosted odds specials. I have taken advantage of those, and that has been very, very beneficial to me, and much more. The same folks that bring you Showtime to world-renowned casinos and resorts have brought Game Time to Tennessee. So download the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com. Get $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Titans game and use bonus code 1025GAME. Bet confidently with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee for problem gambling support. Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.